I went to the store the other day, to the supermarket. And there was a woman there at the cash register. She looked like a chicken. I mean it. This woman was like the spitting image of a chicken. Like she had this big round body with a pointy tail and a front that kind of hang out over the front and a pointy nose and these big thighs and these skinny little bottoms of her legs. She looked exactly like a chicken. So it's just kind of like looking at this woman. It looks like she couldn't count to save her life. I mean, you ever, like, this place is weird. Like, their manager looks like a weasel. Literally, he looks like a weasel. And he is kind of weaselly. It's like, this is the strangest place. You know, the people look like produce or something. I don't know. It was scary. I mean, anyway, if you ever want to be waited on by a chicken. What was also strange is that when I was at the supermarket, there was a woman there who was completely inebriated. And she couldn't walk very well. And, you know, she had a soda can she was holding, sipping out of it. You know it wasn't soda. And it's just like, this is strange. And I got to thinking about her. And I thought, how did she get here? How did this woman actually come to this point? And it simply started with a decision. Somewhere along the line, she had made a decision. Somewhere along the line, someone, something told her it would be okay to try this. And she didn't know clearly, because had she known, no person in their right mind would have set themselves on this track. No one knows. No one knows. They make a decision and they put themselves on a road, on a track. And it leads somewhere. Our decisions lead somewhere. And she put herself on this track and she made a decision. Perhaps it was as a kid, maybe in high school, going to a party and somebody say, hey, have a beer. And so she had a beer. Or who knows, right? But somewhere along the line, something told her it was okay, try this. It'll be fun, or somehow there will be some reward for it in you, whether it is pleasure or something else. And she went down the road. And there is pleasure in sin for a season, but the wages of sin is death. And she went down this road. And she clearly must have taken some pleasure in it for a season, because obviously she has a problem with it now. And that doesn't necessarily come overnight. And now she is in a position, she was unkept, unclean, not, you know, spiritually, but physically she was not clean. And she was clearly in a bad place in her life. She was too incoherent to talk to someone. Kind of wobbling around. And she was in a bad place. Consider, for example, most of the world. In most of the world, somebody says, it's okay to do this. I think for teenagers, and for adults too, one of the things that really becomes a problem is the whole issue of dating. That's why I love the decisions you guys have made. Is that you've decided you're not going to go down this road. You see, somewhere along the line, somebody says, hey, it's okay to have, you know, hey, you want to go out with me, we'll have a good time. And you go out for a little while and you have a good time and nothing really comes of it at first, but it puts people on a road. And the problem isn't the event itself at the beginning. The problem is the road that you have started down. And that road leads somewhere. It takes you to a destination. And when people continue down this road, as much of the world does, much of the Christian world, forget the unsaved world, much of the Christian world does, it leads somewhere. My decisions will lead me to consequences. My decisions will lead me to places. I know several young women. I know one young woman in particular. She, when I was in Bible college, she was a secretary for one of our elder pastors. He was a tremendous pastor. This man's life is unbelievably fruitful, still is unbelievably fruitful, more fruitful than ever before. He's planted numerous churches in numerous countries. And she was a secretary for this man. She couldn't have had better investment in her life than she did. Yet she made a decision somewhere along the road. She went downtown. She had a date. It tantalized her for a while. There was an element of the flesh that was satisfied. There was pleasure in sin for a season. She went again and again. She started dressing immodestly because she liked the feeling it gave her when she had the attention of men. It made her feel, I guess, special or like a lady or something. I don't know. But she liked the feeling, clearly. She went again. Every time, although not a large part at a time, but she would progressively, ever so slowly, go a little bit farther each time. And she had a child with one of the men she went out with. Oh, he didn't stick around. They never do. And now she has problems. So she had a child, and she for a season was actually chastised by her own sins. You see, your sins will find you out. Be careful about sin. It will find you out. Sin is the greatest detective in the universe. That which chastises us is not really often God. Sometimes it is, but usually He doesn't need to. Our sins will chastise us. Our failures, our mistakes chastise us. And so, she had a child and her life was ruined. And for a season she came back. And then she left again. You see, there are things that I plant into my soul. There are things that I plant into my heart when I make my decisions. I do not make my decisions void of anything else. No, I make my decisions in the context of a life. And not only in the context of my own life, I make my decisions in the context of other lives. I love the decisions that you have made for purity. Because they, one, protect you and your relationship to God. But it's not just you they protect. They protect other people. They protect the people who watch your lives. Because believe me, as believers who have decided they're going to walk with God, people, the Christians and the world are watching your lives. They put your decisions for godliness, for purity, to not go there, to not go outside of the perfect will of God for your life, to be pure and clean in your lives. Your decisions are making a difference in your life and in the lives of those who watch you, because you are being watched. They not only make a decision for protect you for those who watch you, they protect those who are coming in the future. You see, the day will come when you are married. They protect your spouse. Your cleanness, your purity, your holiness before God will protect your family. Your decisions are protecting your children. Although you have none yet, but the day will come when you have children. And your decisions now protect them also, because they are establishing a pattern inside of your soul and inside of your mind, a way of thinking and a way of living that you don't just eliminate because you don't actually realize it's even there. And then you have a way of thinking that you impart to your children and to your family later down the road. And your clean decisions, your right decisions before God affect them also. You are protecting them even now before you even have them. See, we don't live in a vacuum. We live one before God and two before men, three before the angels. And we protect those that we live before with our decisions. I know a guy who's in his 70s now. He told me one time that he met a priest. And the priest told him, and this was when he was a little boy, the priest told him that if Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that he wasn't dead. In his 70s, he remembers the words of this priest when he was a little boy. This man is not a believer. He is a mocker of God and a mocker of believers. If he were to die today, he would most certainly go into hell. You see, that priest made a decision in his life to not believe the Word of God, to not walk in faith. His decision affected this man about 60 years down the road, maybe more, 65 years down the road. This man's life has been transformed by the unbelief of this priest. Likewise, this same man met a Christian one time who would not drink alcohol. And he said to me, I know this man was for real because he didn't drink. And that impressed him that there was a difference between him and the world. And it was a simple difference, really. It was just a simple conviction that this man was willing to live in his conviction. And this impressed this man. And again, this was a long time, decades ago, and decades later, it still impresses this person as this was a Christian who was for real. He wouldn't drink. The world wants to know whether our faith is real, because the world wants to know whether God is real. And although they may not like God, they hate Him. They want to know if it is real because there is an element within them that is longing for Him, because only He can satisfy that in them. Only He can bring satisfaction to the believer or to the unbeliever. You see, all too often believers look for satisfaction in the world. They want to be like the world because they look at the world and they say the world's got it together. The world has relationships and they enjoy their relationships. You see, there's a little bit of a catch in there. Yes, the world has relationships, and by the grace of God, the logistical grace of God, that grace that's given to absolutely everybody, just like rain is logistical grace, it rains on the evil and the good. The logistical grace of God, by that and by certain principles in the Word of God, they can have a good relationship. But all too often, more often than not in the world, the relationships are not good. They only seem good for a season because there is pleasure in sin for a season. This is why more than half of Christians get divorces, because they went and pursued things as the world pursues them. They went and they became like the world. I know a number of young women who were raised in beautiful Christian homes who have gotten pregnant when they went into colleges, secular colleges, because they did not possess the convictions that they have learned. They were not their own. Now, since then, they have repented, thank God. But the consequences for those decisions are still in place. Now, God can turn the curse into a blessing, but why have to deal with that? You see, they took a step in a path. They took a step on a road, and that road led them somewhere. It will seem innocuous at first. It will seem completely harmless. It will seem just like, oh, it's fun, it's a good time, this is the norm, this is how we live. No, it is not. This is how the world lives. We live by faith. we do not live by the preferences and the norms of the world. We live by faith. I cannot make any decision that will not lead me onto a road. And that road will take me somewhere. If I make a godly decision, the road will take me to godly places. If I make a worldly decision, mind you, I don't say ungodly because we never consider it to be ungodly. But it is like the world. If I make a worldly decision, it will lead me to ungodly places. It will lead me to places of death. It will lead me to separation from God in my experience, if not in my position like the unsaved, but in my experience. It will lead me to a place where I do not know how to hear from God, where I cannot hear from God. I know a man who was a pastor. He was a missionary, started a beautiful church that is still very fruitful. He had made a decision to step out of his call because of fear. Something happened in his life and it made him afraid. And he thought he had to pursue money. But it wasn't just the desire to pursue the money. It was also the rejection of the call of God, because yet within our own conscience we know that when we pursue the world, we are in fact rejecting God. But that's okay, because we're simply going after what we want, and we've quenched the spirit enough that now, I mean, grieved him enough.